some 2,000 years ago. And Christ has come into the world. I love the second verse of the hymn that we just sang together there. It says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Now listen to this. Veiled in flesh. Not just flesh, but he was God in flesh. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Men and women, the virgin birth is one of the most important doctrines and truths that the Church of God must defend in this day. The Savior was born to the Virgin Mary, and there was a sinless child who knew no sin, did no sin, and yet died for sin. Sins that he did not commit, sins that we committed, for which he died. Now you come with me in our Bible reading to the verse number 8, please. The verse 8. And we read there that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Let's stop there. Three things I want to leave with you tonight. Firstly, the abruptness. Secondly, the hastiness. And then thirdly, the gladness. First of all, I want you to see the abruptness of this text. Here's these shepherds who were simply out doing their daily task. They were tending to the sheep that God had called them to look after. I want to say, here were faithful men. They had a task to do. And should it require them to work all night, they were willing to do whatever God and providence gave them to do, and they seemed to do it well indeed. And as these men were simply working away, they were working men, as they labored in the field, God sent an angel to speak to them. And straight away, there's a little encouragement. Well, you ought to pray that every day, even when you're going about your mundane daily tasks, the Lord would speak to you. A word of encouragement, a word of rebuke, a word of some description, just to feed you and keep you going and challenge you. For God can speak not only in the house of God, not only when the Bible's in front of you, but all day long. You pray that the Lord would have a word in season for you, that even the Lord would take you as he took that angel, and he would use you to speak to other people. As you go about your daily business with your work colleagues or with your family, that God would fill you with a word to give to them. Because never forget this message of the Messiah, of Christ's birth, his life, his death, his worth, declaring to the world everywhere you go. So be in the position to be a witness for Christ wherever you go. Pray that the Lord indeed will speak to you and the Lord would speak through you. But it's interesting. Here's these shepherds. They were working men. And as they worked, God spoke to them through the angel. But here's what I find intriguing. Verse 9 says there, and though the angel of the Lord came on to them. Them. And you would think that if this is an angel coming from heaven, surely, first of all, he'll go to the king. He'll go to those who were in authority. Caesar Augustus was the man in authority in that region, as we read from verse 1. But the angel didn't go to Caesar. The angel wasn't going to take this word to the political scene, because this wasn't a message to change politics. This was a message to change the hearts and lives of working people. This is not a political move. This is God dealing with men's souls. This is life. And the Lord went to the ordinary man, shepherds who would have been uneducated, insignificant, unimportant, largely unknown, and God spoke to them. Isn't that beautiful? Does that not describe the most of us? Insignificant. Not all that important. If the Lord took us away today, there might be a few who would come to our funeral and maybe mourn over us in a few days. It'll all be over. Insignificant. Unimportant. Yet the Lord was pleased to send the angel to such individuals.
Now these shepherds were working men, but they're also worried men. I want you to see this. They were worried men. If you look at the end of verse 9 there, because when the glory of the Lord, it says, shone round about them, at the end of verse 9 it says, and they were afraid. They were afraid. No wonder. If an angel came to you in the middle of the day, stood before you, shone with great glory, you'd be afraid as well. Why would you be afraid? Well, number one, you're coming into contact with the extraordinary. You're coming into an encounter with a heavenly being, superior and greater to us. But furthermore, you would tremble because you know you're a sinner. And you deserve God's justice. You deserve God's wrath. And so you assume that any message coming from God above to you would be a word to call you before the throne of God to deal with your sin. No doubt these men trembled because before them stood an angel. They were working men. They were worried men. But I want you also to see the wonderful message that they received. Because the angel said here in verse 10, note these words carefully. And the angel, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Don't be afraid. Well, why? Why should we not be afraid? May have been the question in the shepherds' hearts. Well, the angel goes on to say, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I'm not coming with the word of judgment. I'm not coming with words of wrath from God. I'm not coming to tell you that God has seen how you've broken the law and he must deal with you. No! He said, the angel said to the shepherds, I come with a good message. A great message for the God who is perfectly within his rights to condemn you to hell for your sin has actually sent his son to die for you and to save you. This was indeed good tidings. And therefore the angel said, fear not, because the Savior has come. Look with me here at verse 11. Verse 11 says, for unto you, let me just even pause for that wee word, you. That's highly significant. Here's an angel. And the angel came to the shepherds and said to the shepherds, unto you, the Savior is born, not unto us. The angels don't have a savior. The angels that sinned against God were punished for their sin, and that was it. No forgiveness, no help, no savior. But here was the angel that came down to earth, and he said to these shepherds, to you, to mankind, God has graciously and mercifully sent a savior. So let's go back to verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Anointed. Men and women, I have no doubt these angels would have been rejoicing themselves. What a privilege to you, creatures of dust. This angel's superior to the shepherds, but he says to these men, to you, you have the privilege, you have the joy of a Savior. Yet we read elsewhere in the Bible that the angels in heaven, they watch the affairs of men and how some men never trust the Savior. How some men never receive the Savior. How some individuals do not fear God and the angels look baffled. We don't have a Savior, the angel would say. But you do, and you don't even care. You don't care that God became a man to become your Savior. You see, here's the problem very much with humanity, especially this time of year. Across the board, almost across the board, virtually everybody loves the Christmas story and the baby in the manger. Look, there's a problem with that. Here you have a little child born to the Virgin Mary in humble surroundings. That's not threatening to us. That doesn't demand anything of us. Here's a babe born, a lovely scene, and you have your pics of snow falling and all the rest of that. Wouldn't have been the case, but here's a babe born in the manger. The problem is when the child grows up, he becomes an adult,
And that same babe, the exact same babe that we're supposed to be celebrating this time of year, grows up to be a man, and that man, Christ Jesus, says, repent of your sin. Turn from your iniquities. And all of a sudden, this little babe is now a man, and he's demanding something of us, and then that's where the vast majority of humanity disown this babe now. We don't want the babe. We don't want the man. We're okay with it at Christmas. We're okay with the babe that doesn't demand anything of us, but when Christ grows into man, we have nothing to do with this individual. Was that not even said when he's been crucified? Away with him. We have nothing to do with this man. Now, what was that the same today? You're happy, doting about the babe in the manger. But once that babe becomes a man, you're not so keen to obey and to dote over him. You see, here's the thing. These angels said here in verse 10 that they had good tidings. Indeed, it was good tidings of great joy because there was a Savior born unto them. Go to verse 14. Their song continues here. They're singing now. In verse 14 it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, maybe some of you are preaching that, but just to give you an insight as to what that means. Often that verse is said this time of year, that on earth there's peace. As if Christ has now come and there's peace in the world. That's not true. There's not peace in the world. There's not peace at all. There's war everywhere, and there's been wars continuing. You will often, I'm sure, have heard that little carol that's sung this time of year. It's about awaiting the Messiah coming, and when he comes, he's going to bring peace to the world. The Messiah has come. He has come. And he has brought peace. But it's not peace between men and men. It's peace between God and men. You see, when the Savior came into the world, he wasn't bringing a political movement. He was bringing a movement where between God and man, there might be union, there might be friendship again, that people can have a way for their sins to be forgiven so that God would not be duty-bound to deal with you because of your sin. There's not peace in this world. But Christ came to give peace between you and God. And this is the goodwill toward men. But listen, that peace can only come if there's a babe born who lives a sinless life and dies upon the cross. And if he dies for sin, only then can there be peace between God and men. Only then. And so if you love the babe in the manger, but you have no time for the God-man, Jesus Christ, you're not seen. You need the whole man. You need the whole work of the Savior to do you any lasting good. This is the abruptness of the event. Out of nowhere, the angels came with this amazing declaration. These shepherds would have been absolutely astounded by the length and the breadth and the depth and the significance of this message, that to lowly individuals like them, they should be the first to hear of the Messiah coming. That leads us, secondly, here to their hastiness. Like we sang together there a few moments ago, I will hasten to him. Hasten, so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. And that's what these shepherds did. Look with me here at verse 15. After the angels had spoke to them, it says in verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Let us go now. Do you see that? Let us go tomorrow. Let us get the sheep back. Let us wait to daylight. No, let us go now. Go even on to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Absolutely no delay. Is it not true? If you're interested in something, you will rush, you will hasten to it. You know, it's like you get up in the morning, and you've duties to do.
It might be your secular employment. It might be some chores around the house. It might be something. And you go out of bed and it's all the effort in the world to get your teeth brushed and get ready to get out because you just would prefer to lie in bed or do something else because you're not bigly interested. But if you're getting up for holidays and you're flying away, let's say tomorrow or Sunday this week, it's cold and dark in Northern Ireland, but you've got a plane journey and you're heading to somewhere where the sun's shining. And your flight's at 5 o'clock in the morning. I guarantee you, you'll be up at 3:30, bouncing, ready to go. You'll be so full of excitement, you might not be able to sleep. Why is that? Because you're really looking forward to it. You're keen, you want to go. There's a hastiness. There's a keenness. And that was the case with these shepherds. They were keen. Immediately, they want to see Christ. Now, I want to think about you and your walk with God tonight. Because are you hastening to Christ? Are you quick to drop everything and go to the Lord now? Like the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. But if you in your heart, you're thinking, listen, I might wait till, 2018. I'll turn a new leaf, make a New Year's resolution on the first day of the new year, and I seek God then. Or I'll wait till I'm later in life, and maybe when I'm retired and I'll be happy sitting in church and I'll be happy reading the Bible and maybe then when I'm not so well and I'll be happy then maybe making a profession and calling upon God. If that's your opinion, if that's your approach to this, friend, you'll never be saved. Never will you be saved. Because if you love the Lord, you'll hasten now. You'll want to go now. And I want to challenge you with that today. These shepherds immediately went to the Lord because straight away there was attraction. An attraction that they could not put off. So read verse 16 again with me. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. As the angels told them. Everything the word of God, because what the angels delivered was the word of God. And everything that God said to them, they found it exactly as God had said. And the Lord says in this word, if you come to me, I will receive you. If you came to Christ, you would find it to be exactly as God says. He will forgive you for your sin. He will give you a home in heaven. What God says is always true. The angel said, you go to Bethlehem. You'll find the babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that is what they found. Trust God's word. Take his invitation seriously and come to the Lord. So, the abruptness. We've seen their hastiness. If you go with me to verse 17 now, I want you to see their gladness. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned back to their flocks. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were transformed. They're going back to their sheep now and they're full of gladness. They're glorifying and they're praising God. And that's what it's like for the believer. When you live a life without Christ and then you come to the Lord and you get saved, there is this joy in your heart. Oh, it waxes and wanes. We're sinners. We're far from perfect. We have our doubts and we have our fears. But by and large, men and women, when you're saved, you will be full of glory and praise for God. You'll be thankful that he has died to save you. You'll be thankful, I tell you, this time of the year has a whole new meaning when you really are saved because it really reminds us of the time when Christ came into the world. We don't know when Christ was born. We have absolutely no idea. And it's not important. We don't need to know exactly when he's born. It's not even required in this book that we have to remember him. But our culture has so been for many hundreds of years that there has been a time set. And who knows the origins of it. Christmas is all kinds of potential beginnings and all the rest of it. The reality is this: in my home tomorrow, we will rejoice that Jesus Christ was born. And the next day I'll rejoice in it. And the next day, in fact, every day of the year. Men and women, there's a gladness. There's a rejoicing. There's a praise. For Christ has come to do the work that I could not do myself. Now look at these shepherds. It says here in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. You see, when these shepherds saw the Savior, there was a change. They recognized, here's the Savior. Here's the way of salvation. They couldn't keep it to themselves. It wasn't just for them, I have no doubt. They went back to their families and declared to the families, the Messiah has come. They were telling their neighbors, their friends, everybody. They couldn't contain it. This was too good to keep to themselves. So they told the world, Christ has come. Salvation is secure. God has sent the Messiah. We have seen him with our own eyes. Now I wonder tonight, just in closing, perhaps the truth of the gospel has come to your heart with abruptness today. Maybe you've never really seriously sat down and thought about Christmas. You never sat down and thought about the incarnation. You never really sat down and thought about your sin. Maybe today there's an abruptness. God has spoken. What's the best thing you could do? Drop everything. Drop your herds, whatever the case may be. Whatever your sheep may be, symbolic of things that maybe you need to do, set it all to the side for a moment. And you seek the Savior. You get right with God. Hasten to him immediately. And I can assure you, you'll leave with gladness in your heart. Because there's nothing like knowing that being was born for me. He came the whole way to earth for me, that I might be redeemed. Go to heaven. As the vine rightly said in her testimony, those opening verses that we read there, when Christ came into Bethlehem, there was no room for him. Yet, he came from heaven to earth. And he couldn't find room in Bethlehem, yet his whole reason for coming was to make room for us in heaven. That's why he came. I think that's wonderful. Christ came to make room for you in heaven tonight. I wonder, will you receive him? I wonder, will you trust in him? I wonder, will this, the end of 2017, be the year when you hasten to obey the Lord? Let's take our hymn books tonight. I'm going to turn to our final hymn, the hymn number 91. The hymn 91. You'll find it on the page 213. We're just going to sing the first verse and the third verse, verses 1 and 3. Again, it takes us from the beginning, the incarnation. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. We'll sing verse 1 and then verse 3 takes us to the cross. Because remember, this babe was born to die. And you know, maybe you never think about this time of year, but really what the incarnation is about God's anger. Someone had to come to deal with the anger of God. You never get that on a Christmas card. But that's the reality. Someone needed to deal with the wrath of God for sin. And God sent his own son to do it. So that the wrath might be quenched. And we might enjoy the favor and love of God. That's why Christ came. Verses 1 and 3 of the hymn 91.